Musicpreneur.com, episode 120.
To assist in your journey of making money making music, the Musicpreneur.com podcast starts now. Here's your host, James Newcomb.
Hey, my guest today can be found on the web at TheodoreJander.com. He's a composer of sacred and secular music. He's the composer in residence and worship coordinator at Lutheran Church of the Good Shepherd in Hazelwood. And the reason he's here on the Musicpreneur podcast is because of a cool project he's got going on Patreon called Seasonal Scriptures in Song. Welcome to the show, Ted Jander.
Thank you very much. I'm very glad to be here.
All right. Well, I had to have you on the podcast because you're the one person that actually listens that I know of. And you were, I guess you found me on listening to, did you hear or you saw Garrett Hope on this podcast and you listened and is that how it worked?
I did. I saw him, it was either on Facebook or on Twitter. He had posted his interview and I was intrigued because I've been listening to his podcast for quite some time and then saw Musicpreneur. That's really right along. And I, at the time, and still am in the throes of really trying to reestablish my marketing and business plan and whatnot. And I was like, oh, Musicpreneur, this would be another great resource. So I started with episode one and have been listening ever since.
So you and me are the two people on this entire planet that have probably listened to every single episode.
I'm slowly making my way, yes.
Oh, so you haven't finished yet?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
no,
we're done here. Sorry. Okay, yeah, I've got another call. Sorry. Garrett's a good guy, but he kept calling me John during our interview. Did you pick up on that?
No, I didn't.
I have to give Garrett a hard time because we were talking about John Lee Dumas of Entrepreneur on Fire right before we started the interview. And my name starts with J, and he just had the name John in his mind, so he kept calling me John. I can't let him live that down. But it's also an open invitation for Garrett to come back on the podcast and make things right.
There you go. So I'll make sure that Garrett listens.
I need to know, because this is for my own edification. When you first saw the word musicpreneur, what went through your mind? What did it say to you? What definition came to your mind when you heard that word?
When I heard and read musicpreneur,
just the word musicpreneur.
To me, it meant this idea of someone who is trying to make a viable career out of music, not necessarily as a primary resource, but more than likely as a primary resource, and that it's very much an entrepreneurial thing. And so you're being an entrepreneur, but you're also in music, and you're trying to be an entrepreneur in music. So that's,
So the word musicpreneur, it works. It's effective. Okay.
Oh yes, for sure.
Good. I just need to know that, because there's a lot that went into this podcast, this whole project. So I want to make sure that money and the resources and the time is going to good use. All right, let's talk about, I want to talk about your seasonal scriptures and song, but first of all, I want to talk about just you as a composer. Tell us a little bit about your start, maybe falling in love with music. What made you want to pursue it as a career?
Well, you want the long version or the short version?
How long is the long version?
Well, I could read it off of my bio. It probably wouldn't take that long.
Let's take the short version then.
No, we'll take the short version. music has been an integral part of my life since I really can remember. By having grown up in the church, hymnody was a very important component of that. I took piano lessons from my mom until we found another teacher when we moved to St. Louis. Growing up in the church and performed quite a bit of choral music and then even some contemporary Christian stuff for a couple of years with my brother in the church that he was going to. So I had aspirations in that area and really focused more once I started my specific training in voice and the world of quote unquote classical music. Mm-hmm. And
You're mainly a composer, right?
Yes. Okay. And though I sing with being the artistic director for an early music group and with my church gig, singing and then conducting are still a strong aspect of what I do.
All right. I want to ask you this. Now, you said that you're a composer of sacred and secular music. Now, the word secular, I guess, could mean different things depending on who you ask. So, like, I have a religious background myself, and the picture that comes to my mind, secular is like worldly, you know, and it's kind of a negative connotation, but it's not always negative. So I'm just curious, from someone of your background, how do you define secular music and how is it different from sacred music?
Well, I think for me, secular, though, I think some people might say that for them, all music has a spiritual side to it. So to separate music out into those, even just those two, might be wouldn't work for them. For me, secular is something that it's not spiritual necessarily. It doesn't have a religious affiliation. It doesn't have
It's not necessarily bad.
Oh no way. Even though some of the music that I've written, people might look at and not necessarily bad, but kind of question what I was thinking. Nothing bad whatsoever.
Do you see a conflict? Is there ever a time where secular music, you find a conflict with sacred music?
Oh.
Like music that you write?
No.
Okay.
Between any secular type music that I may write and sacred music that I write?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. So they're like compatible?
In a lot of ways, yes. There are things that I've learned through, and I use this word within my bio, but it's very much just dabbling in electronic music or electronica, dance, techno, house, that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. Mixed music. There are things that I've learned through and skills that I've been able to use and utilize within music that would fall under sacred or in certain instances that would be used in a sacred context. And some of the meditation music that I've produced that way could be seen as sacred. Not specifically to my belief system, but it does and potentially could have a spiritualness to it. But other than that, no.
I'm at your Patreon page for your seasonal scriptures and song. And mm-hmm. It's cool you've been able to get some patrons. That's cool.
Yes, yes.
Anything more than one is a win when it comes to Patreon.
Right, right.
How long has this campaign been going?
I launched it March 1st of last year, so 2017.
Okay. Well, obviously you're not looking to pay your bills with it. It's $500 a month is your objective.
Well, actually, ultimately, I think I have five monetary goals within that.
Okay, let's see here.
Yeah, eventually that would...
Ah, there we go.
That would be... Well, in talking with both Garrett and then another, or a person that I've connected to through Twitter, she's a soprano living in California with her family, Carrie Hennessy. Mm-hmm. And we've FaceTimed a couple of times just to chat really about the project. And one of the first things she said to me in our FaceTime chats and then in some email or direct message corresponding was she described the potential for this project to be pretty significant.
Okay.
And so it's the marketing side of things that that I'm learning. And
what have you learned about marketing? Before you say that, when you started this, what was your view of the word marketing? And has it changed since you started this?
Oh, it's definitely changed. One, when to go back to my personal history a little bit, when I started a community college in St. Louis and then transferred to Missouri State University with the intent of looking at a degree having to do with elements of business. Mm-hmm. And I changed my major pretty quickly to music because I was like, I'm not a business person. I've always done well in math, so that wouldn't necessarily be the hard part. But the business side of things, I'm just like, I'm not, that's just not me. And when I launched my composition residence program, that was the beginning part of understanding marketing. I wasn't looking as globally as I am now. And once I started looking at, and once I launched Seasonal Scriptures and Song, it and over the past year and a month, understanding the one significant point about marketing is it's very much about relationships and connecting. It's not so much that I'm even selling. It's not me trying to sell me or trying to. It's not about me. It's about what I can offer. It's about the mission that I have and putting that word out to the world, essentially, and how I serve and make connections through whatever means I can, and that it's a big part of building a business like this.
Well, this is interesting because we were just talking about the relationship between spiritual and sacred and secular music that you write, and you know, I'll bet a lot of musicians could listen to that. You describing that and say that they view entrepreneurship kind of the same way. Like music is sacred to us, you know?
Oh, yes.
And
oh,
then,
for sure.
And then to use words like marketing, branding, you know, sales, musicians just feel like that is, it's kind of like that secular, sacred paradigm or that juxtaposition. And from
right.
What I'm hearing from you is that you realize that in order for this Scriptures and Song project to succeed, well, you had to embrace marketing. And the more you embraced it or the more that you dabbled with it or put it to use, you found that it's absolutely compatible with your own message and with your own person.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Honestly, Twitter's actually been a godsend.
A godsend? That's saying a lot from a sacred composer.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one because a lot of the connections that I've made. I don't even remember. Well, I came across, I think Garrett had sent an email out through the Society of Composers Incorporated listserv a number of years ago when he first launched his podcast. I had saved that email because at the time I wasn't necessarily looking for something. I wasn't much into podcasts. I listened to a couple here and there. And then a few years ago, I either saw something again on Facebook or something, I don't remember where, or I came across that email. It's like, you know, I'm going to look into this. And I started from square one, and it really hit home. And so once that connection started, and then this past summer is when I joined the Twitter community, and it's crazy that Carrie I've met. I've had a number of other conversations with music professionals. I've made some connections with some people who work for the church, who are faith-filled members of their community. They may not be music, or they're on Twitter and they're just engaged with these other people that we're mutually following. And I came across a gentleman whose name is Bill Woolsey. And back in the early 80s, my dad was the director of a Lutheran day camp in Texas. So we lived on a camp for two years, so three summers in that time frame. And Bill was one of the counselors. And I hadn't realized that until I was talking to my dad about this gentleman. And he's like, oh, yeah, Bill was a counselor, and was just kind of amazed that it was like, wow, I hadn't heard or seen Bill in 30 years. And then to come across him on Twitter, and then to also use one of his a book that he had that he wrote in helping bring some clarity and reestablish my mission and vision for the project. And had it not been for Twitter, I would not have come across some of the resources and have the resources that I have, and make the connections that I do. So it has been a godsend. It's been a lot of fun. It's daunting.
Well, a lot of people use that phrase. People use that phrase, and they don't really understand what they're saying. But you are a spiritual man. You write. You're a man of faith. You walk the walk, and you say that Twitter is a godsend. That's saying a lot. It really is. All right. Well, sadly, we are out of time here, Ted Jander. But let's say. Very quickly, I know that you're got quite a ways to go before you reach your ultimate goal, and we know that your goal, we know your financial goal is to just support yourself with this project. But let's talk about a more down to earth goal, non financial. Mm-hmm. What does success look like with this project? How is it going to affect people? How is it going to touch people's lives?
Well, at the core, and this was something that I didn't start the project. It was a part of the project, but it wasn't clear. And the mission of the project is my why, and it comes out of my why. It comes out of the passion that I have for music and sacred music, and working to embrace really serving through music. And that's to transform and enrich the daily and faith lives of anybody who encounters seasonal scriptures and song and my music in general. And through those songs, and through any other music that they may encounter through that. So, I mean, that's the core of what this is. And to me, success would be encountering people, connecting with people who've had, and to see them engaging with the music, to see their lives enriched. And it may be faith-based, and it may not, just even to have that simple simple life enrichment that, that music can provide. And the music beyond the serving, then I, even though that's the core, it's a way for people to it's a way for people to learn scripture, for one, but it's a way for, it would be a way that that churches, parents, again, success, seeing that they're using the music, that they're using the materials that are going to be, or that are generated from this in their daily life. So that
is this song that you sent me, Lullaby, is this one of the songs that you've composed?
No, it's not. It's a piece that I wrote for my daughter when she was an infant. Oh. The text is by Francis Pilkington. He's a Renaissance composer, and it's of the recordings that I have. It was one of the better recordings that I had of any of the music that I've done. It's not sacred, but it's I would say it's indicative of the music that and my of my writing. The melody is one of my strong suits, and Lullaby is represents that really well. And plus, like I said, the recording quality is really good. And because any of the live recordings that I have of the seasonal scriptures and song are available only to my patrons. And those are the only recordings that I have. I have a couple of other songs that would qualify as seasonal scriptures and song, but I have yet to nail down a decent recording of those. So,
all right. Well, we've got a couple of calls to action for you guys. First of all, check out Theodore Jander, JANDER.com. Learn about him, all the links that you need to find out about his project, especially the seasonal scriptures and song. If that piqued your interest, go check it out. And consider contributing on the Patreon thing if you feel so inclined. But and then the second call to action is to check out musicpreneur.com/music, where I will be playing Lullaby, written by Theodore Jander. We just heard that wonderful story about his infant daughter. So check it over, check it out at musicpreneur.com. So Theodore, I want to say thank you for listening to the podcast. It means a lot to me. And thank you for sharing a little bit about your journey. And really appreciate it, dude.
You're welcome, and thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk.
Hey, before I let you all go, I just want to let you know that as of this recording, here on the 9th of April, this is being released, of course, on the 10th of April, but as I speak, the Musicpreneur Apprentice Program is still at that 25% discount. So get in while the getting's good. Listen to Ted Jander. He's not like some superstar who's got 3 million Facebook followers or 2 kajillion Instagram. He's like right down there in the weeds, getting his hands dirty, just like the rest of us. And it's important for me to feature people on the podcast who, you know, they don't have that mega following, but they're just out there making it happen, following their dream, following their passion. And I want to have Ted back on the show when he's uber successful, when he's reached those goals on Patreon. And, you know, You need some guidance, and that's why the Musicpreneur Apprentice Program was created by my friend Carlos Castillo, and that's why I'm proud to be an affiliate and endorse it wholeheartedly, 100%. So, musicpreneur.com/apprentice to find out more about it, and even get a 15-minute coaching call with Carlos himself so you can both determine if it's a good fit for you to be a part of the apprentice program. Musicpreneur.com/apprentice. My name is James Newcomb. Thank you for listening to the show, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Remember, Musicpreneur.com is your home for the tools and resources you need to make money making music. And be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss an episode. Thanks for listening.